Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we will look at verses 35 through the end of the chapter to verse 41 this morning. And we will be talking about God's constant care for us. So Mark chapter 4, verse 35, let's go ahead and read this whole passage to begin. It says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. That will be important as we talk about this passage, that it's Jesus directing this action. Let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Very, very interesting question the disciples ask Jesus. We'll talk about that as well. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Wind and waves, we don't typically think of wind and waves with ears to hear, right? With minds to receive a direction and to obey. Of course, this is God speaking, the Creator. So we are not surprised by this. Certainly a great miracle, but certainly within the power of God. Verse 39 again, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Complete obedience. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Still, do you still have no faith? Why did Jesus say to you, still have no faith? He's basing that on something, right? We'll talk about that. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. That's Mark 4, 35 through 41. The Christian is called by Scripture to live a life that is noticeably different than those who have not been chosen by God. Be called his children. Noticeably different. We have the opportunity to show that difference almost every day. We've looked recently at how this difference needs to be seen in our lives, in our speech, and in a walk of faith. Over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at that. These two areas. Should be a noticeable difference because we live in a world that is full of fear and doubt. Absolutely full of fear and doubt. The unbeliever has to face each day with their only hope of peace, something that they can manufacture. They only hope to have some purpose in life for that day. Their only hope to have some satisfaction comes from themselves. Imagine facing each day like that. When you get up in the morning, you and I don't have to do that because we know what true hope is. We know what true joy is because God has chosen to save us. That's why there should be such a difference. But for the unbeliever, the goal is just to get through the day, to survive it. You may ask somebody, how are you doing? Typical greeting we give to somebody, and often the The response is, well, made it through another day, or, you know, it's another day. It's just a hopeless response. But that's the existence. So add an unpleasant circumstance or a significant difficulty to this normal state of being to their lives, and often becomes unbearable for them. And they do different things in response to an unbearable life, bad things that we don't need to go into. But since this life is all they have and no hope for eternal life, their existence becomes a roller coaster, just a series of ups and downs, and that determines whether or not they're happy on that day or they're full of grief on that day. And it just depends on how they were able to deal with that day's problems. Up and down, happiness or grief, there is no peace, just fear and doubt. Now, outside the biblical command to fear God, fear and doubt have no place in the life of the child of God. The passage that we just read could make that no clearer. We read about people who thought they were going to die, and Jesus said, "You shouldn't have been afraid." We'll talk about that in just a few moments. We like to think that there should be a little room for fear and doubt, right? Because we're only human, but this falls short of what we see in God's Word. Jesus tells us that we're not to be like the pagan that worries about each day's needs, because God knows our needs and promises to meet each of them. And it's no different with what we might call the great storms of life as well, our trials, the big problems that we face in life. Especially those times we think, well, there should be a little room for a little doubt or fear, but no, not according to Scripture. While the unbeliever cannot effectively deal with the storms, the child of God is cared for and provided for during these trials by a compassionate and sovereign Heavenly Father. These storms change everything for the unbeliever, and their lives are ruled by their circumstances. Those are the ups and downs. Those are the roller coasters, the storms of life that they do not have an answer for. But our circumstances and trials do not change God. He remains constant. He brings the circumstances and trials. Changes. He is constant and faithful, and while we often miss it, his constancy is most visible during the storms of life. During those very, very difficult trials, when it's hard for us to see anything outside of ourselves, it is the direct hand of God showing us his grace. So God's care for us is constant, even during life's darkest storms. Disciples are going to learn about Jesus' constant care for them in the storm, and that kind of care needs to make a difference in our lives. So let's take a closer look at this passage and see how this should make a difference in our lives. The constant care of God, and really trusting Him regardless of the circumstances, and remembering those circumstances and those trials are designed by God. If we say that we believe that He loves us and cares for us, how could those trials be outside of God's love and care? They're not. He's in complete control of them. So first, we need to trust His care even when we cannot see what He is doing, and that's hard for us. We like to know all the details. We like to know all the facts of what we're going through. We want very much to know how the storm is going to end and how we're going to be okay on the other end of it. That's something you got to be very careful of in the midst of the storm. The disciples didn't do very well with that. But as I mentioned before, it was Jesus who decided that they would cross the lake. In verse 35, that day when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Now, this should be noted because it reminds us that God determines our steps. He brings the storms. He brings the trials. We think we have things under control. We work really hard to keep everything under control. And while we think that we control life, it is the trials in life that humble us and remind us that we are not as sovereign as we may think. Proverbs 16:9 says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Now you may know that the storms in that area tended to come up quickly and suddenly without warning. Kind of like the storms in our lives, those difficult trials, we often don't see them coming, and they hit us hard all at once, sometimes. Being prepared for them is very important. Matthew 8, the same account, verse 24, says, "Without warning," the bull type is mine, "a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat." In the three Gospels that tell of this story, they each describe the storm as furious. Furious. So it's clear that the disciples and the others with them were in a dangerous situation in regard to their physical well-being. Any human being would have looked at that and said, there is danger here. Verse 23, in Luke 8, verse 23 says, "A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger." The Word of God tells us they were in great danger. Waves were breaking over the boat. Things looked bad. Things looked very bad. Now, I take just a little bit of time to emphasize this because we have to contrast it with what Jesus said to the disciples in their response to a very difficult and dangerous situation. Life-threatening. Anybody would have seen this as life-threatening. Scripture tells us they were in great danger. Now, these disciples were people just like you and me. And so when they realized that Jesus was sleeping, that did not send the immediate message that Jesus cared. And we probably would have responded the same way. Remember, we're looking at, we need to trust even when we don't see what God is doing. We need to trust that He is taking care of the storms. So the disciples evaluated the situation and they saw that Jesus wasn't doing anything. He was sleeping. They wanted to see Jesus doing something. Would have made him feel better. Maybe rowing, bailing, whatever. I don't know the size of the ship, but they couldn't see that he was taking action to do something, and that caused great fear. So because Jesus wasn't acting in a way that they thought he should be, they doubted whether or not he cared about their well-being. So in verse 38, it says, "Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?'" Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we die? Are you uncaring? Maybe they looked at what they'd seen Jesus do before and said, okay, he can do a lot of things. Why is he doing something now? Maybe that prompted the question of his care about them. So they said, "Jesus, don't you care?" So what's going on here? The disciples doubted God's care because a storm came into their lives. They didn't know how they were going to survive it. And it appeared that God, although they probably hadn't wrapped their heads around that truth, that God was walking in their midst, was not taking any action. Now, of course, Jesus knew that they weren't going to drown because he knew his Father's plan was something different, that his death would come in a much different way. But the disciples wanted to see something. They had a great need to see with their own eyes, because the seeing replaces the faith. And that's what they wanted. They didn't want to trust. They wanted to see. To seek Jesus' help would have been appropriate. But to question whether or not he cared about their very lives was not. And this is the danger, that we cross over from seeking God's help to questioning whether or not he cares in the midst of our trials. Because we will be just like the disciples. We will be in a storm and we will not be able to see everything that God is doing. You probably know that already in life. But we should never question about his awareness of the storm or his care for us. You can imagine the disciples rushing over to Jesus and shaking him and waking him. It's the picture I get, in a state of panic. Not going over slowly and whispering to Jesus. No, it was probably a panic. He will provide what we need when we need it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." God will provide what we need. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, be very careful to understand that our trials are not temptations from God. God doesn't tempt, nor does he need to tempt to know whether or not someone will sin. This verse is just another verse that says God will provide. If there's difficulties, God will provide. So James 1:12-17 said, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil." So he doesn't tempt, but he provides the strength that we need when we are tempted. "Nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Talks about temptation comes from our own evil desire, and one possible evil desire that tempts us to sin in the midst of trials is to find fault with what God is doing. Hey, I shouldn't be under these circumstances. Hey, this is too difficult. God shouldn't be doing this to me. We don't want to blame him for the difficult circumstances in our lives. God's trials provide us with real life experience of his faithfulness and care. The very trials themselves are statements of grace showing God's shaping of our lives. Unfortunately, we mistake the storms as occurrences of God's seeming indifference, when actually they are just the opposite. When understood correctly, they are the direct hand of God in our lives for our good. It was shared just recently from James again. "Count it all joy, brothers, when you face different kinds of trials." The disciples were given no reason at all not to trust Jesus. Nor have we. We have no reason at all. Everything that they knew and everything that we know about Jesus is that he is full of compassion and care for his people. Always faithful. But we want to see. Instead of trust. Hebrews 11:1 again. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Can you rest in God during your storm? He never stops caring for you, especially in the storms. God's care for us is constant, even during life's darkest storms. The disciples were learning that. This was a big lesson. They were astonished at what happened. Be careful that you don't have to see, but rather that you can trust. We will be more successful at trusting his care if we remind ourselves that circumstances are never beyond his control. So secondly, We should live in peace knowing He controls our circumstances. Now we know that the disciples were not expecting to see what they were about to see in verse 41. They had seen Jesus heal many people. Even if you go back just a few preceding chapters in Mark, but also in the other Gospels, they'd seen a lot of healing. They witnessed deformed limbs being made whole, skin diseases disappearing before their very eyes, the leper, paralyzed people walking again. They witnessed Jesus' control over the animals, the sea, land, when they saw Him do things such as fill their nets with fish. They saw control, they saw Jesus' control over Satan and his angels when they obeyed Jesus' every command immediately and pleaded with Jesus to have mercy on them when He's casting out demons. They had seen a lot already. It's unclear what it was the disciples wanted Jesus to do. Now remember, when Jesus got up and He rebuked the waves and the wind, they were completely amazed. So what is it that they were wanting Jesus to do? They weren't expecting that to happen. So it's hard to know what they thought Jesus would do instead. I think they just needed to see Him do something. They needed to see, as we talked about before. What they did see was something that they would not soon forget. They learned that the Creator of the universe was also completely in control of His creation. So here we have verse 39 again. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So furious, calm, furious squall, calm. Jesus, with just a few words, showed them that it was He who controlled the circumstances, and that He was not controlled by the circumstances. We often forego the peace that God affords us, makes available to us. God does not force it upon us. Paul's prayer and hope is that Christians will live in peace that God provides. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him." That's a constant theme in Scripture, that there will be peace when we trust. Again, in James, we're told you should not expect to receive anything if you doubt. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you in the midst of circumstances that you are not trusting God with and therefore not enjoying His peace? God never stops caring for us when we need Him most, and we need Him most all the time. He is always there, fulfilling His promise to give us everything we need. And the circumstances don't matter. He brings the circumstances. You believe that, I'm sure. God's care for us is constant, even during life's darkest storms. So finally, we need to understand that this care is not to be taken lightly. This gets a little tougher here. God requires us to live without fear because of Him. God requires us to live without fear because of Him. Now, I mentioned before as we were reading the passage, it's important. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The "still," I think, refers to all that they've experienced with Jesus, all that they've seen Him do. Not only physical miracles, but His wisdom and His ability to know things that others wouldn't. His understanding of God's Word. All of this. Based on all that you've seen Me do, all that you understand about Me, do you still have no faith? Because really, I mean, I'll be honest, I look at this passage and say, They were going to drown. They have no idea what was going to happen. And they get rebuked for that because they didn't have faith. So after Jesus calms the storm, he had two questions for his disciples. The first question was, why were they so afraid? Why are you so afraid? So they woke Jesus up, and right away he sees the fear there. The implication to the disciples is that they should have known that Jesus was with them and they would be okay. It is clear that the expectation from Jesus to them was to not be afraid. Now that seems harsh. To be in a life and death situation and to be told you should not have been afraid. Disciples thought they were probably going to die. Nonetheless, Jesus was not going to let this doubt go by without pointing out their mistake about him. To Jesus, this was not a time to coddle those who should have known better but what they have seen up to this point. So, in life storms, in these trials, there really are only two responses. One is to trust God, to look at Scripture, see what we see here, and say, all that God has told me and promised me, I know He's going to take care of me. The other option is to be afraid, is to fear, is to doubt. Now, logically, we would say to ourselves, okay, do I like living in fear and doubt? Or do I like having peace? And the clear answer is, well, I would rather have peace. But we so often don't choose that, even though we have every reason to choose it. We should look at the same question. Are we still afraid? Disciples had seen Jesus do so many things. We know that God has saved us from our sin, our greatest need that we've ever had. He's provided for that. And then as we experience life, we go through trials and difficulties. And every time God provides. And still we are faced with the question, are you still afraid? Again, we like to see things. Faith and trust is hard. Well, the next question was along the same lines. Do you still have no faith? Again, from all that they had seen and heard in Jesus' presence, there should have been faith, not fear. Now, there's a great tendency to feel sorry for ourselves when we go through the storms, but Jesus was not hearing that from the disciples. Though it may seem harsh, he required faith. The question itself says, you should have not been afraid. You should have had faith. Now, there will be pain and sorrow in the storms, but there must also be courage and faith. Not that we generate on our own, but because God is faithful. All we really know is a faithful God. Has he ever been unfaithful to you? No, never. All we know in our lives as Christians, as believers, is God's faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. It's never been any other way. And then when we have a difficulty, we start to say, is he going to provide? Is he going to provide? It shouldn't be like that. It is faith that God requires. It is a requirement. No self-pity. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Are you afraid, even though God has promised to care for you? That we need to be asking ourselves those questions in the dark times, in the storms, and be reminded that it's not really something to be taken lightly, the doubt and fear. So are you riding out a storm right now? Are you afraid or wondering if God cares or even knows? I mean, we know the right answer to say that, right? I mean, Christians long enough to know all the right answers. We say, no, I'm not afraid. I know God cares. I know He knows. But then there's still struggle. Well, rest assured, He knows and He does care. And remember, number one, you may not always see what He is doing, but He's taking care of you. He's taking care of you in ways that you may not understand or even aware that you need. When God brings trials into our lives, they are for specific purposes that we need. Rest assured, He knows and He cares. And remember, your situation is not out of control. He controls the circumstances and He cares about you. When we're going through a trial, it's because we need it. And a loving God is giving it to us. Rest assured, He knows and cares. And remember, He requires that we trust Him and not be afraid. He does not offer His care lightly. It needs to be respected and received and lived according to. There is no room for doubt or fear because He's never given us any reason to doubt or fear. He's always provided for our every need. God cares for you, especially in the darkest storms. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that we would have more wisdom and faith, that we would be constantly in Your Word and growing in our relationship with You, so that when You bring the trials, we can respond as men and women of faith and have the wonderful blessing of bringing honor and glory to You during those trials. So we ask for help in our weakness, in our unbelief at times, and pray that You would change hearts that need to trust You more. We thank You for Your precious Word that gives us reminder after reminder that You do care for us. You've promised to do so, and You do not change. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name.